I would like to share one of the stories about Albert Einstein. So he was once traveling from Princeton University on a train when the conductor came down the aisle, punching the tickets of every passenger. When it came to Einstein, Einstein reached in his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket. So he reached in his trouser pockets. It wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase, but couldn't find it. Then he looked in the seat beside him. He still couldn't find it. So the conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket, so don't worry about it." Einstein nodded appreciatively. The conductor continued down the aisle, punching tickets. As he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees, looking under his seat for his ticket. So the conductor rushed back and said, "Dr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one." Einstein looked at him and said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." So today in our first reading, God asked the same question, "Where are you? How things are with you?" Summer has begun. Normally, this is the time of easing a bit. Some are on vacation. See the pews? Others may follow. So as the summer season drags on, we hear the question asked of us, "Where are you?" It is also the kind of question someone might ask when we seem distracted or not paying attention. "Where are you? Where did you go?" Maybe we have just lost track of where we are, who we are, and where we should be going. Maybe we just plod along, very busy, very scattered by the rush and routine. Or maybe, like Adam, we are hiding out, afraid to face or deal with something that needs addressing. Summer usually provides some space and leisure for us. It's a good time to ask ourselves the question of this first reading, "Where am I?" And then add, "And where am I going?" So in our readings, the book of Genesis takes us all the way back to Adam and Eve's disobedience to the loving will of God, which is named as sin. As a result of sin, the struggle between good and evil became an inherent aspect of our human experience. This struggle continues unabated, but not unaided, especially when our free human choices cause things to go awry. God does not turn us away, leaving us to our own designs. He comes searching for us. "Where are you?" Paul, in the second reading, encourages us as he did to the early Christians in Corinth. He tells us that God's grace is bestowed in abundance in order that we may not lose heart as we struggle. In our gospel, Mark tells us how Jesus himself was misunderstood by his own relatives, thinking that he was insane. How he was accused by the scribes as being possessed by a demon and attributed his power to cast out demons to Satan, which was an unforgivable sin at the time. So Jesus first dismisses the heinous charge with a fairly obvious image of the kingdom divided against itself. if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So Jesus reminds us that if there is a spiritual war going in our mind and heart, going in us, the solution is not to cower from the fight and seek refuge in habits or behaviors that are believed to be harmful and destructive to our life. But instead, we must confront sin and evil and build the kinds of relationship that will embolden us and strengthen us carry our cross to fight the good fight and finally find freedom. So Paul, in our second reading, gives us hopeful and inspiring messages. First of all, he said, we need to build friendship with Jesus. He tells us that through his resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death. He showed us that he is victorious over all evil, including the darkness in your life and in mine. If we embrace a friendship with Jesus, then we embrace the love that casts out all fear and the love that can break every chain. The road might be long. We will always have to carry our cross. But if we remain united to Christ, we will face our fears with a light that the darkness can never overcome. Second, Paul said, we need to become active members of Jesus' family. Jesus redefines the meaning of family. Looking around the room at all the people gathered to see him, Jesus says, those who do the will of God are my brothers, my sisters, and my mother. So the will of God is that we love another as Jesus has loved us. We manifest our adoption into God's family when, like Jesus, we live not for ourselves, but for others. Empowered by the Spirit and in union with Jesus, we can become a gift of God to other people. If we allow God to love us, he can work through us such that we become a blessing to those around us. So this is who we are as a church. That is what we do as a church. We are members of Jesus' family who do the will of the Father.